Yeah, come on.
Yeah, what's up? This is it.
Good evening, my people up in the chandeliers. The whining and dining, the
I like
menu
it.
Is blood, sweat,
can
and
can y'all
tears.
Feel that out there?
Everybody ready? Rain and duck and fatty. Champions are born right now. Run when you hear that
a little
sound.
Cello.
Heroes never die.
What are we gonna do?
Make it to the finish line.
Oh man, what an awesome intro. We love, thank you Skillet so much for writing us a song. We appreciate that.
The privilege.
You are watching and listening to the KTF Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Shannon Williams, where we defend the faith and stand for truth. You can always find more information either at shannonwilliams.net or ktfpodcast.com. Oh, what a great podcast we have today. It's going to be a good one, guys.
Yes.
It's going to be a good one. To my left, we got B Mizzle in the house.
Yes, what up, America?
And to my right, we have the PBJ.
What's happening? What's going on, everybody?
Oh, today we're going to be chatting a little bit about a subject that you may have heard about. We're going to be talking about the Bible. The Bible.
Yes, that's the book for me.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
We got the KTF.
Nice little harmonization right there.
What is, what's the three?
Trio.
We got a trio. Yeah. KTF trio up in here.
Yeah.
All right. So in the age of grace, we're posing the question, in the age of grace, do we really need the Bible? Do we really need it? Offset. Boom. Right here. Let's just go.
Yes, I do.
All right. So I'm going to say I've heard this before, and I really like it. Bible, what does it stand for? Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Listen, I've heard that before.
A lot of people think the Bible is, made up, fictitious. We know that as believers.
Fairy tale.
Yeah. They say it's a fairy tale. If you're a believer, you know that the word is true and it's factual. Historians and everything, have went through the Bible and said, you know what, this matches up with a lot of things that went through time and all that. It's a book made up of writings inspired by the word of God. Mm. Amen. So I want to go ahead and jump into a Bible verse real quick.
All right, hit us. What do we got?
This out. Matthew 24, 35.
We're using the Bible to support the Bible.
Yes, yes. It's amazing. It's awesome. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All these other books and everything, libraries and stuff like that, all of that, computers, technology, that's all going to fade away. But the word of God is very evident and very true, and that will stand
Amen.
Firm throughout the test
come
of time.
On. That's right. Isaiah 40, verse 8 also says, the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. So,
by the way.
You got people out here now. You've got these, what we'll say, new age Christians, the age of grace. You say a prayer.
Yeah.
You have faith. You have faith in Christ. And then, if you go to church, good. If not, no big deal. It's just me and my God. It's just me and him. And, he just does his thing and I do my thing, but do we really need the Bible? I mean, it's 2024, y'all.
One more thing before that. There's a movie that's out there. It came out years ago with Denzel Washington, The Book of Eli.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Man, that is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And the world has went through a great war, recession and everything. Apocalypse type thing. Yeah. And they're searching for this book. And Eli, Denzel Washington, has this book. And it is a Bible. And they said, if you get the Bible, then you'll be able to rule the world. And stuff like that, rule over everybody. So the very end of it, some things happen and all that.
Is that where he actually had it memorized? It was.
Yeah.
So what was crazy?
Is that the one?
Yeah, he had it memorized, but what was crazy? It was a Braille Bible. So he was blind. And
wait a minute,
yes,
he was blind.
He
the
was
whole
blind.
Time?
Yeah. And the way they play it off is God
didn't
gave
know
him,
it to the very end.
Yeah, God gave him sight and the ability to do everything. Till the very end, so he can.
Wasn't he like a fighter? Wasn't he like a warrior or something?
Yeah,
wasn't
he like a
vigilante
type person?
Yeah,
wow.
And basically, they're like, okay, you could take the Bible, But he had it all memorized, and then he went, and then he spoke every word, and they wrote it down. It was awesome. It's such a good movie. Y'all check it out. Not wow. a little plug there. It seems to be the
It's about 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, what movie do y'all sponsor? Is it Book of Eli? It's like, I don't know where that's at in the Bible. We're gonna you're gonna have emails sent to us now.
Yeah, I believe Book of Enoch should have been in.
They'll have a field day with this one. So anyway, there's lots of different stories and beliefs, but we here at the KTF podcast, we do truly believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and that we need the Word of God. That is something that is what our foundation is. If any man will hear the teachings of the Lord, hear the voice of the Lord, and if he will do them, apply them, then he will have a firm foundation. Mm-hmm. And when the winds come, the rains come, and the wind blows, that the foundation will be secure and you will be able to withstand the storm. And I think there's a lot of Christians that are waver, tossed to and fro. They don't have a good foundation, and I believe because they won't allow the Word of God to become their foundation. Mm-hmm. Now, we have people that say stuff like this. The Bible was written by man. And they'll say, it can't be trusted, therefore it was written by man. Nobody in their right mind that I've ever known, in no theologian whatsoever, has ever said the words, the Bible wasn't written by man. Every one of them has said the Bible is written by man. The difference is it was written by men of God, mm-hmm. inspired by God,
mm-hmm.
for that's the right, ministry that's right. and the edification of the believer.
What is that? First Peter 1:19, I think it is. All prophecy. Let's see. Let me find it.
While you're looking that scripture up, I want to say this: the Bible is a collection, and we know this. It's 66 books. They're different books. It was written in three different languages across three different continents, and it's been over a time period written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors. Now, it's all at all points in the Old Testament. It's about the history, the fall of man, how God orchestrated the children of Israel to be his people, how he led them through all types of ups and downs, taught them to worship him, love him, and then eventually he promised a Messiah. So everything in the Old Testament is really pointing to a coming Messiah. Everything in the New Testament is the fulfillment of those prophecies.
Amen.
And so we see an Old Testament pointing to Christ. We see a New Testament which is the blood of Christ, mm-hmm. the new covenant. And so they come together to form this story. There's no other book that has been more scrutinized. So the validity of the Bible is really null and void. We have over 5,500 living documents, manuscripts that have been compared to, cross-checked, cross-referenced. It is the most scrutinized book in the history of mankind, and yet almost every person that tries to set out to say it's not real, not accurate, written by men, they almost all the time end up being converted to Christianity because they cannot find the errors that is constantly touted about it. So the first statement is it was written by man. Absolutely. But so is your textbooks. Yeah. So is every other work. So is Homer's Iliad. So is any other documents on this earth, because that's how God did it. He put men in charge. He gave men the inspiration, and men can have a choice. They can either use their gifts for good or they can not use them for good. Amen. So either way.
Yeah, I want to share this with you. I had this dream the other night, and the Lord, we was at this conference, right? We had this predominant pastor sitting next to me.
Okay.
And he was kind of mocking us, kind of saying, well, what are you doing? I said, well, what's happening in your church?
Yeah.
What's God doing in your church? He said, well, you know, he's doing a lot of things, you know. Well, this lady got healed the other day. I said, wait a minute. God don't heal anymore. Y'all don't believe in that. He was a cessationist.
Okay.
Okay. I said,
And
I don't want to go down that trail.
I know. That's one of those words where it's like it's a trigger word.
I know.
Oh, we don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but we believe God can work.
And
we don't believe God does it through men.
Well, this well, is then, what I,
why don't he send angels to preach the gospel?
Amen.
Why don't he send angels to lay hands on the sick? Why don't he send angels to do all of it? And why does he just pick and choose what he says a man can do?
Yep.
So a cessationist, I'm telling you, they'll, you know, we'll probably have them visit our podcast.
Well,
probably,
you know, his argument was, he said, oh, no. God can still heal, but you can't. I said, man, he said, man can't do it.
Who has ever said that?
They all say that. That's what they say.
Who steps up and says, I healed him. It was me.
I know.
Hard note.
Who says that?
Yeah.
Nobody in their right mind with the legitimate ministry that I know has ever got up and said, man, I tell you what, we just saw a powerful move of me.
Yeah.
No. They all give credit to God for doing it.
Right.
We just pray in the name of Jesus for these things.
My argument, and this is a dream, get me. So let me finish. I said, so somebody give me a Bible. So I grabbed a Bible. And I said, let me find something for you. And I started looking and said, wait a minute. Who wrote this? And he said, well, God wrote it. I said, no, God didn't write it. Man wrote it. Man wrote this.
No way.
Wait, no.
God inspired it. Oh, no. That just messes everything up.
Yeah. Wait, no. You don't understand, but, you know, God told him what to write. God told me to lay hands on that woman and to heal her. And she got healed. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
There's no difference here.
Yeah. God told me to write these words down. God used a man to write this.
And he, you know, and man did it.
Yeah, okay. Perfect example.
We don't just have some magic book that just fell in somebody's lap one day and say, here's it fell from heaven.
This ain't the tablets that Joseph Smith found.
Yeah, come on.
You know what I'm saying?
God still uses man, that's my point.
He dug him up in his backyard. No.
Yeah.
No. So John the Revelator, right?
Yeah.
Jesus shows up. So we believe this, right? We believe that the book of Revelation.
Yes, we believe.
We believe in that, okay? Yes, so it is real?
Yes,
okay, so
real.
Jesus shows up. Now, Jesus, he can do anything, right?
Yeah.
He could have wrote his own book. But he shows up to John.
Yeah, tells John what?
John,
yeah.
I'm going to show you a vision, and I need you to write it down.
Now, he don't speak through man like that. Come on, Pastor. Now,
he listen, Jesus needed a man with man's hands with the stuff to write stuff. I mean, He needs us. He needs us to fulfill his will, pray his will, and allow it to flow through us. But the Bible is a very important part of a Christian's life. You cannot be a Christian without the Bible.
Correct.
And that's
right.
And that's where we find ourselves. We find out people are trying to be Christians without the Bible.
No.
Well, I believe in the, you know, I got a shirt on here right here. It says there are only two genders, period. That's it. And why do we know this? Why can we say this? And I want to thank my friend
because of the BIBLE.
I want to thank my friend D.R. Harrison for the shirt. By the way, it's a plug. Appreciate you, Voice of Hope Ministries. Yeah. Because the Bible tells us
there's only two.
It said God created them, male and female.
That's right.
Two different kinds. That's it. You know,
Amazon agrees.
Boom. Amazon does agree. The shirts that say there are 43 genders, then you go to order it and it says, would you like it in the men's or the women's?
Oh, man.
See, the Bible,
y'all just picking on
the
people.
Bible is so accurate. It's so right. It's so true. And so, but let's dive quickly into what and who is the Bible, because it's a double pointed question. What and who is the Bible? John chapter 1. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This establishes who the Word is. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We go down to verse 14. So we know that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word it was God.
Yes.
Then John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh.
Yes.
This is the incarnation. This is the incarnation of God in the flesh. He dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we hear the words, Word of God, it is also synonymous with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yes.
So this is a Jesus.
This book testifies.
That's right.
The Word of God is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the testament of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Period. And so anytime we hear the Word of God, we cannot separate Jesus, because Jesus is the Word of God.
You know that John 1:1, it plays on Genesis 1:1.
It does.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, that solidifies Jesus was there.
Yes.
Jesus was there before creation.
That's right.
Even before time,
well,
there was Jesus.
Well, Jesus told the Pharisees, they were so upset. Remember, they were like, we're with Abraham. You know, our father is Abraham. And he looks at him and he's like, yo, I was here before Abraham, y'all. I'm Abraham's daddy, you know? And they lost their mind. They're like, oh, my Lord, you can't say stuff like that. And he's like, I just did.
Yeah.
I was there. The Bible says that the Lamb of God, which was slain, the Bible says is slain before the foundations of the earth. Before the foundations of the earth was laid, Jesus Christ slain. The Father had a plan redeem
that's
mankind.
Exactly right.
He already knew. So we know that Jesus is a part of the Godhead in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if God's in the beginning, that's all we have is God, right? And then other than that, all we have is his word. So he spoke.
That's right.
And things became into existence.
That's right.
He spoke and there was light. He spoke and things came to be. So that's how everything started. And Hebrews 11:3 says this, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear.
That's right.
The things that are made were made, the word worlds there are the ages and times. Everything has been framed by the word of God. So who has creative power and capability? Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God.
That's right. And we have power in our words. When God said, let there be light, there was light.
Yeah.
Jesus is an example for us.
That's right.
To command things to happen. We, you know, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the asunder of soul and spirit.
Yeah.
And the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
That's right.
Yeah. That means that Word of God cuts you, and it cuts the bad out of you, and it heals good in you.
Yeah. It's the word quick there means alive.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Alive. The Word of God is alive. That's why you can read the Bible, and the Bible starts to do something inside of you. Mm-hmm. Right, you can read. You can read a novel. You can read a science fiction book.
Yeah,
and nothing will change. But you can read the Bible or hear the Bible being preached, and it has the power to convict you. It has the power to move you. It has the power to get you to pray or change or have faith or you know, something moves on the inside because it is alive.
Yeah.
It is a living, breathing document. Praise be to God. Yeah.
The Lord showed me this. He says, it's a 2,000-year-old book. This is current as tomorrow's newspaper.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, even though it's 2,000 years old, it's just as current as, not just today.
Well, yeah.
Tomorrow. So it's in our past, it's in our today, and it's going to be in our tomorrow.
Well, in the beginning, we quoted, the Word of God will stand forever. That is the truth. That's why we build our foundation on it.
Yep.
And, you know, it says that it is a sword. It's a two-edged sword, right? Two edges meaning it will cut and heal.
That's right.
At the same time, you know, when you go under the knife to get a tumor out, they got to cut you to get it out.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the same way. God will cut you with his word to get the sin, to get the junk, to get all that stuff out of you, right? And so what is the Bible? If we want to get down to it, the Bible is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. But it is also, I want us to talk about this. I want to hear what you guys have to say. But I believe the Bible is a weapon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe it's a weapon.
It is your sword.
We're in a warfare.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, if we're in a war, we got to have a weapon.
Right.
I mean, how many times do you hear people say, I've been in spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual warfare. Well, I'm sorry to say, it's not just prayer.
That's right.
You shouldn't just be praying, right?
Man.
That's not the only thing that we have. We have a sword, which is the Bible, and I think that we should start using
it against our
enemies.
Speaking the word.
That reminds me of that time we were in that session, and we were praying with this young man, And he was like, man, I've been praying for all these things, you know, for things to get broken off of my life. And we're like, have you been in the Word? He's like, well, I've been praying and I've been fasting.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, but have you been in the Word?
Have you cracked the Bible?
Have you, this right here, this Bible right here will do astonishing things if you just dive in it and read it and let it resonate inside of you. I mean, you have to dive into this. The benefits of reading the Bible daily will be evident in your life, heart and mind. What happens is you become more like Jesus. Your mind is renewed with truth. This changes your outlook on life, your attitude, and perspective. Mm-hmm. You have to dive into this. You have to partake of this. You know, it's okay to, you know, jump on your phone and on your lunch break, and you got the Bible app on there. You got your laptop. You got all this. But, you know, sometimes diving into the physical word right here.
I like grabbing hold of a physical Bible, man.
I'm telling you, this right here. Man, I have 3-4 Bibles. You know, I got one in my car. I got one that I take to work. And, you know.
I know you used to leave your Bible at the church, and I was really concerned because I'd be like, that's Pastor Ben's Bible. What is he doing with leaving his Bible? It's like, I sure hope he didn't leave his one and only Bible here.
I got a few.
So you got several. And now I know that now, but yeah. I didn't about, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, because I'd be like, hey, this is his Bible. He left it in the chair. You know, some people leave their Bibles in their pew at church to save their seat.
That's
no, take the thing home and read it.
I told my church guy, I said, wait, you left your Bible there. He said, oh, no, I'm leaving that there to save my seat. And I was like, well, don't you need it during the week? I mean.
Got my church Bible, got my car Bible, got my bathroom Bible, got my shower Bible, got my lightsaber right here.
You got a shower Bible?
No, not yet. I'm going to have one.
Holy cow.
That'd be nice.
I didn't know. I mean, you put the audio
Bible. There you go. You put the audio Bible on. You have it in the shower.
Well, that's true. You can listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible is God's mind and God's thoughts in a book. And if we're striving to be more like Him, now if you're a lukewarm Christian, man, just like toss it on a shelf and let it get dusty, man, because it ain't going to do you any good, right? But if you really want to grow closer to God, you got to know what He says. See, you know.
Well, what do you say to those people that say, you know, I'm good, man. Me and God's good. I don't need I'm under grace.
I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need to pray.
I talked to God once, and He said, me and Him's good. And, you know, I don't do bad things, Pastor.
That's why they need to read the Bible. Yeah. Specifically, they need to read Matthew chapter 7.
Come on.
And they need to find out that the Bible says that there will be many in that day.
Come on.
That will say to Him, Lord, Lord. And did we not cast out devils? Did we not feed the hungry? Did we not do these mighty works in your name? And He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. See, it's not just about, are you good with God? Is God good with you?
That's what I was
and
waiting.
And how you
go.
Find out is you got to read what He says.
Amen.
Do you know that as a Christian man or woman, you don't have a right to your own opinion anymore? You die to yourself. You die to your own thoughts and your own views. And you actually say stuff like this. Well, I'll tell you this. On a subject, I will refer you to the Word of God. The Word of God says this. You know, if it comes to abortion, listen, it doesn't matter what man says about abortion. It matters what God says about it.
Or court system.
That's right. And so, you know, I read Jeremiah. The Bible says before He formed Jeremiah in his mother womb, the Bible says that He knew him and He ordained him a prophet to the nation. And he knew his purpose. And so, that's not a coincidence. So God put it in here for a reason so we would know it. You know, what are we, you know, when there's 14,000 different genders on the planet now, according to weirdos with pink hair. No, the Bible says there's only two, right? So this is our standard. We have to hear and speak what God says about our life. And when we start to stray away from morality, when we try to think that morality is subjective, not objective, then we can create our own reality. Yeah. And that's what many Christians have done. They've created a subjective reality where they get to change what they believe. They get to change what is said and what is done based on how they feel, based on what's popular, based off who said it. Oh, if Cardi B says it, it's right. If Justin Bieber sings it, it's right. If Tom Cruise confirms it, it's okay. If John Cena does this, it's perfect. Let me tell you something. I could care less what any of those people say, what Oprah believes. priest, what anybody says. I want to hear what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says. I want to hear this because the Bible says in Matthew 4, chapter 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you hear that? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when we forsake the word of God, even one word, when we forsake it, that is the beginning of when we're going to fall as men and women of faith.
Well, you know, not only is it, all right, we're comparing the secular world to believers. What about amongst believers? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we got these people saying, well, you know, that 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and Acts 1 and Acts 2, that's not for us, Pastor.
Oh.
That was for them guys back then, you know?
Okay,
we're going to just carve that part out of it, right? That was just he was just speaking to the people of Corinth.
So you're saying the Bible.
Okay, I don't have to hear anything. I don't have to hear anything of the book of Ephesians. I don't have to hear any of that because that was to the church of Ephesus.
That's right.
And I don't need to even read Revelation because the very beginning of that is to the seven churches. And we got Ephesus, we got Pergamos, we got Thyatira, we've got Sardis, we've got Philadelphia, we got Laodicea. I didn't read Finish Line in any of those. He didn't write me a letter.
Come on.
So therefore, I'm good to go. I don't have to listen to none of that stuff.
Come on.
You know what?
That's just BNDA.
I know, I understand. But listen, that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, well, what is sanctified word of God for us and what is not?
Yeah.
What do we adhere to and what is not? See, you can't tell me this is for us and this is not.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It is not.
That's man-made doctrines, I believe.
It is not allowable.
Yeah. When man comes up and says, oh, we're gonna carve that piece out. Mm. We don't believe in that. That happens anymore. We don't adhere to that. Or we're going to reform the Bible.
What are we looking for?
You know, that word reform, that means God got it wrong.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you got to be careful about certain versions as well of the Bible. Because, you know, some omit a lot of things.
Yeah, they do.
And don't have a lot of things in it. So you
need some of them have verses that are missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen where they've actually. I remember Pastor Mark brought his Bible to me one time, and he goes, you were reading the scripture this morning. And like for example, it was like verse 26. Verse 26 was not even in his Bible.
Yeah,
I was like, well, it's not like they combined them. Where did it go?
Yeah,
you know, it's like some weird stuff has happened with some of these translations.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a translation freak, just so you know.
Yeah,
like I'm not a 1611 guy. Like I'm like, okay, if it's not 1611, you're not going to heaven. Have you heard that?
Yeah, y'all heard that?
That's old school.
Yeah. But let me tell you something. Most of my Bibles are King James or New King James versions because I love the King James. I read it and I understand it. I have no problem. God wired my brain to like, and I'm good with it. I don't need an amplified version.
Yeah.
I don't need a New Living Translation. I don't need a New American Standard. I don't need any of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But if you need that in order to
drive home a point.
If you need an easy read Bible so you can understand it, then go read that Bible. But I'm a big word study guy. I love it. I love going into the Greek and Hebrew.
Yeah.
I love my Strong's Concordance, my Sword Searcher software. I am totally in a relationship with Sword Searcher software. We see each other quite a bit on a daily basis. I love it. It helps get the original Greek and Hebrew meaning, and it is a beautiful thing. But let me tell you, a Christian that will not read his Bible is going to be a weak Christian.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
Ineffective, no power, no passion. That person, I'm telling you, show me somebody that will not read their Bible, and I will show you somebody that has no victory in their life.
Come on.
I mean, that's Luke. Luke chapter 11. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to be blessed. Luke 11:28 says, but he said, he rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Mm.
When you read it, you got to store that. You got to store that not only in your brain, in your mind, but you got to store that in your soul, in your spirit.
That's true.
You got to store all of that, and then you resonate on that. You might not just say, for instance, you're out and about somewhere, and you don't have your Bible on. You don't have your phone. You don't have any access to.
Right.
Where does the scripture come from?
It's got to come from your heart.
It's got to come from, you got to bank. You got to store that up inside. You yeah. told us that before. You have to have that stored inside of you, and you got to be able to withdraw from that and use it. Any given moment, any given
what
time.
What David say?
Write it up. Write the words on my heart so I might not sin against
you. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's so precious. He hid it, right? Mm. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God.
Yeah.
I want the word inscribed upon my heart, on the fleshly tables of my heart, not on a stone. Right? The Old Testament was, you know, the laws of God, the commandments of God were written by the finger of God on a stone. God's like, I don't want to write it on a stone. I want to actually write it on your heart.
Amen.
Right?
Come on.
Remember the story? Remember the difference between the law on the outside and it being something changing on the inside?
Yeah.
I got a speeding ticket, right? And so, you know, I slowed down for a couple weeks, right? Why did I only slow down for a couple weeks? You know, because in my heart, I still wanted, I was like Ricky Bobby, I wanted to go fast.
Yeah.
You know, until my heart changed, you know, nothing's going to change. You can't have an outside law on a tablet change your heart. Yep. It has to be written on the inside.
Come on.
Right?
Good.
And so that's where we are. But so with that being said, you know, we talked about the validity of the Word of God. Even though it was written by men, it was inspired by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Right? But the Word of God, we also said, is what? A weapon. Ephesians 6, let's look at it quickly, verse 13 through 17. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the, there it is, Word of God. Out of all of this, talks about the armor, putting on the whole armor of God. Out of all that armor.
Protection, except for one.
Yeah, we're getting protected from our mind, our breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. We got the belt of truth. You know, we got everything working for us. Mm-hmm. But then we got one weapon, and that's the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. And we have learned that Jesus himself, mm-hmm. when tempted by the devil.
Yeah, come on.
Right?
Yeah,
when he was in the wilderness and he was being tempted, he used the word. He said mm-hmm. these words, "It is written."
That's right.
Because there is power in what God has spoken and man has written down.
That's right.
There's power in it. So he said, "It is written. Turn this stone into bread. It is written," you know. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's over here. He's you know, do not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, he takes him up on the temple in the high place, which, by the way, they pointed out to us when I was in Israel exactly what that looked like. They said that's the corner where he took him to and said, "Throw yourself off this the wall of the temple." That's where it was.
Wow.
And see if the angels will catch you. And I'm over here looking at that. I'm like, wow, this place is huge. The wall of the temple, where the outside is magnificent.
Yeah.
And he said, that's where he said, you know, throw yourself off if you see your angels have charge over you. He goes,
wow, that's awesome.
You know, do not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he goes, you know, worship me, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of the kingdoms. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And he goes, listen, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. But every time it was, it is written, it is written, it is written.
Yeah.
So I think we should get in the same mode. It is written.
It is written.
You know, even if we got to say that, right? Mm-hmm. So when temptation comes, you say, no, it is written the name of Jesus.
So you have to read
your Bible. The spirit of fear shows up. No, it is written. God's not giving me the spirit of fear, devil, so you better back on up,
right?
You know, God's given this is what God's given me, power, love, and a sound mind. That's mm-hmm. mine,
that's right?
So we got to learn that it is a weapon, and we got to start using it. You know that I very rarely now, after the last few years, I've actually changed the way I pray.
Mm. Really?
And I think it's the most effective way to pray is when you pray the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay, good. Okay, you know, say, you know, we can say, Lord, you know, help me today, you know, give me strength to do all. You know, No, Lord, the Bible says, your word says, when I am weak, you are strong.
Yeah.
Right? That when I am waiting upon the Lord, that you will renew my strength.
That's right.
And so you quote the word of God so your ears can hear it, the devil can hear it, anybody around you can hear it, so you can actually feel the word of God encouraging you, filling you up. That's so
right. It is written, so yeah.
I've actually started to do that more over the last few years because I, you know, it's like, you know, what you pray, you know, it's like I'm a pastor, you know, you get in that mode and you start to pray, and a lot of times you just pray for what people ask you to pray for.
Yeah.
Y'all ever done that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just feeling real down. I feel weak today. Will you pray for me? Lord, you know, we just need your help. Come in, be with my brother and bless him and help him. What's even better than that?
Yeah.
Speaking the word of God back to God. Right? He's bound by his word. The Bible says his word shall not go forth and it will not return void. What else is there the best way to pray to know the word of God? That's why we need the Bible. That's why it's important to understand the word of God.
Right.
You know, and I think that is a lifestyle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think the Bible is a lifestyle. And if you haven't fallen in love with the Bible yet, I just think you misunderstand it.
Yeah, you're missing a lot. I mean,
yeah.
I was reading the other day, you know, you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise,
right?
I was on this worship kick, and I was just like, you know what? God's got a gate, and he's got a courtyard.
Uh-huh.
And how do I get there? By thanksgiving and praise.
Come on.
And he was just teaching me things like this. And the word started getting, and I started thanking him for things. And I started praising him, blessing him, because he's holy. You know, and then your spirit man just gets built up. But if I don't know that, if I don't open my Bible, I'm not ever going to know that.
How many people are ignorant of what the Bible says out here who go to church?
Ooh, yeah.
You could get up and say any. See, this is partially what I, you know,
only Bible you get is what the pastor gives you on Sundays and Wednesdays. You're not a weak Christian.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I blame partially, you know, the preachers that get up. You know, you remember this whole, you know, name it and claim it, you know, like. I claim this, you know, you was out here, people was out here claiming other people's husbands and wives. They were out here claiming other people's cars. And I claim this in the name of Jesus, name it and claim it, you know. I mean, I believe in speaking those things that are not as though they were, but they were just getting foolish with it. And then, you know, you got the prosperity gospel, which, you know, I believe in being prosperous and being blessed, but I don't believe in, you know, sow a 1995 seed and get a 1995 chapter of Revelation blessing in it. You know, I don't, you know, I just think that we turned it into Cadillacs, cars, jacuzzis, and airplanes and stuff like that. And so, but I partially blame not the preacher who's up there touting this stuff, but I partially blame the people
sitting in the pew listening to it,
who are listening to this nonsense, who don't know any better.
If you can't discern for yourself, you're in bad shape. If somebody preaches something to you, if a preacher preaches something to you, and it does not line up with the word of God, well, you got to know the word of God.
There's the plumb line, right?
Yeah,
you got to have something to measure it by.
So if you're gonna get took, you know, if you think 1995 is gonna get you a Cadillac, you know, they're gonna take you. You know. I'm sorry.
If you believe you're, you know, I'm getting in a $1,000 seed line because I need a breakthrough. I need a new house.
Yeah.
Listen, you're not trading God $1,000 for a house. That ain't how it works. Right. If you give to the kingdom of God because you're generous.
That's right.
And you want to walk in God's blessing, right? And God can bless what you put in his hand to multiply. Give and it shall be given unto you. God can't multiply what you don't sow.
Come on.
If you don't put it in the ground, it'll never reap a harvest. If I got 10 bags of seeds and I just keep them in my room, they'll never multiply until I plant them in the ground. That's what it is. You are sowing into God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. You're not giving necessarily to get just a simple transaction. It's not a simple transaction. Yeah, there is a transaction, but it is a transaction of faith.
That,
It's a transaction of faith.
Somebody just texted me, says that thing that you claimed will destroy you. You better claim healing and claim deliverance.
Well, you better claim the will of God, yeah. Right? I mean, we can put a claim on a lot of stuff, but we better be speaking the will of God.
That's exactly
right. What did he tell the disciples to pray in the prayer? Yeah. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. We should be asking for God's kingdom to show up.
That's right.
And that gets me a lot of these people pray, well, if it's God's will, you know, Sister Sally gets healed. Of course it's God's will that she gets healed. Why do you add that to it? You got to know the word of God. He wants everybody healed. He wants everybody delivered. He wants everybody saved.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bible says, I wish above all that you this be predestined prosperous and in elected health, even as your soul prospers.
Is junk. You know, he just chose a few and then, you know, pre-selected those. Come on, man. You got to know the word of God.
I mean, that's about one of the sorriest doctrines I've ever heard in my life. Like, seriously. God pre-selected people to get saved. It don't matter what they do, they're going to hell. Then why in the world did he say... Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wishes above all that all would repent and come into repentance. Yeah. Why would he say that? If he truly doesn't wish all to be saved, if he's like, I pre-selected you and you and you and you. If it's like you guys be like, listen, I picked y'all to come in the room with me and nobody else is getting in. But then I walk out there and I announce, I invite all of you to come in the room with me. Wow. Yeah. But that's the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. I would never do that, right? Yeah. I would never do that.
Yeah.
If I only really sent the invitations to the people in this room, I'm not going to go out to announce to the world, hey, I got a party and I want all y'all to come. Because one of them rascals is going to want to come in.
I don't think they read the book.
Somebody's going to want to show up.
Divide the word of God. You got to rightly divide it, not wrongly. Is that a word?
That's what I'm saying.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
That's right.
Yeah.
A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You study to show. But see, there's a lot of people that have a head knowledge of the Bible.
Come on.
But they don't understand that this is a spiritual book. This is a spiritual book.
That's right.
You'll never understand everything with your brain.
Nope.
Some things you have to take by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
You can't wrap your mind around who God is and what he really is, right? Not 100%. You're finite. He's infinite.
Right.
You can't comprehend that. See, there's many things you have to take by faith. Your spirit man is attached to the Holy Spirit. So the other part of that you were talking about, the plumb line, you got to know the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
What's the other part of that? You got to have the Spirit of God.
Come on.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
It bears witness of the things that is true.
That's what I'm talking about. These false preachers that's out here telling you all this stuff. Your spirit man, you better have a spirit man to tell you, wait, this ain't jiving right.
That's exactly right.
You know, man,
you better be able to discern spirits.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Because there's going to be many false Christ show up. There's going to be many false teachers show up. Where do you think they're teaching? Where do you think they're teaching? They're not standing on the corner downtown saying, I'm going to put a soapbox and I'm going to teach. Where are they teaching?
Mega churches.
They're teaching in the churches. They're teaching doctrines. How do you think they have doctrines? They're doctrines of devils. Doctrines is a biblical term. We got people that are preaching and teaching the wrong thing, leading people astray.
Majority of those are TED Talks because I don't see them quote scripture not once.
The New Age churches, they teach in their church growth seminars. This is what they say. We're going to teach you how to quote the Bible without ever quoting the Bible.
What?
Yeah. What? They want you to be able to say, all right, so you know how at Finish Line, you know, we'll say, all right, we're going to turn to Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we look at it and read it.
Yeah.
They say, we want you to quote that without quoting it. We want you to say, you know what? You know,
don't eat rocks.
Men should live by the word of God, not just eat bread.
Yeah.
And never quote the scripture. Never say where it came from. Never give the reference because they think it's too weighty and too heavy. and people can't receive
it. Too old-fashioned.
Yeah. Oh, it needs to feel like an encouraging chat. Mm. And they say if you do this, your church will grow. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you got 5,000 people in your church. If all of them are going to hell, what good is it?
Yeah, exactly.
What good is it? Come on. You have 8 million dollar budget a year, $28 million budget a year. You've got all these programs of full-time staffers for what? Mm. So you can lead people into a ditch?
Wow.
That's the dumbest thing ever. Right. Listen, church growth ain't about church growth. Church growth is about winning souls and building the kingdom of God, not your own kingdom. Right? Not your own kingdom. I mean, we saw that mess with that Crossroads Church.
Yeah.
Right up in there in Ohio. You know, we're gonna kick the Bible because it's kind of cool because, you know, they kicked the football. Since when are you gonna kick the Bible? Did we not just hear that the Bible is the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14 it said, then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But you're gonna kick the Word of God?
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not gonna kick Jesus. No. I wouldn't spit on a Bible, but oh, it's just spit, you can wipe it off. I still wouldn't disrespect my God.
Mm. Come on.
You know, but this is that when you're so far removed from Scripture, anything goes.
Yeah.
When you're just thinking about, I want to be relevant, I want to be nice, I want to be good, I want people to like me. Boom. Then Scripture is irrelevant. Mm, but let me tell you something. If you're interested in people's lives changing,
that's right,
on a real scale, hearts changing, people getting saved, people getting free, you better learn the Bible,
yep,
and you better start quoting the Bible. And I'm going to say this to all the preachers, pastors, evangelists, bishops, elders, deacons, doctors, whatever you call yourself, every one of you out there, listen, get in a Bible. Listen, stop going to sermons.com and trying to print you out a little sermon online. Get in the Bible and find out what it says. I promise you, if you'll get in this book, come to life, and you have an endless amount of sermons.
Amen.
I actually struggle sometimes with trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to minister and preach because there's so much content, there's so much material. Even if I just got up in the pulpit and just started reading the Bible, how valuable would that truly be? Men and women would literally, I believe they would break down in tears and start to run to an altar and get saved by hearing the Bible spoken.
Amen. Yeah. I believe that. I know that.
It's powerful. It's a powerful thing.
Early in my Christian walk, we spent 3 years, I think, going through the book of Exodus, right? And, man, that was some of the most powerful time that I could – I mean, we just tore it down all the way to the floor mats. I mean, you couldn't do any more to that book. Mm-hmm. But it was – you know, we were rightly dividing it, taking us here to there to there to there, you know. And it's so powerful.
Because there's a message in all of it.
There is.
There's pre-incarnate theophanies. That's a fancy name for Old Testament visions or visitations by the Lord. You know, the rock that followed the children of Israel through the desert. That's the same rock of Christ, right? So it's a pre-incarnate theophany. And then you've got all of these scenarios where you have types. The theological term is types and shadows. Mm-hmm. Types and shadows of the Lord providing. You know, when Abraham took his son Isaac up on the mountain and sacrificed and went to sacrifice his son, actually that's where the Dome of the Rock is today in Jerusalem, and that they built that over top. They built the Dome of the Rock over top of where that happened on the mountain. That just happens to be the same place, Jerusalem, and that is very close to the place where the Lord would sacrifice his son, and he would actually go through with it, and even though he told him to stop, but God provided the ram in the thicket. God provided the lamb for the slaughter. These are types and shadows of what the Lord is doing. So no matter which way you look at it, see, the Bible, there's a message in everything.
That's right.
And everywhere you turn. And so I've got a scripture that I want to read here in Revelation 20, okay? So we know people are going to be faithful to the Bible. Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes.
You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
You believe that? We're going to have people that's going to be dedicated. I believe there's going to be a revival of repentance.
Right.
in America. And I believe there's going to be a revival of the pure word of God. And here's why I believe that. Revelation 20, verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Bible says they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. So I believe there's going to be a remnant of believers who's going to stand on the word, stand for the truth, and they're going to go through life blessed. They're going to go through life, and they're going to stand on the word of God, even if their life is on the line. And even if it costs us our life, what do we get? We get rewarded.
Yeah, we spend eternity with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. So they're going to be people that are going to be so you're not alone. Listen, you're not alone. You're not the only one out there. You're not the only one that's over there saying, "I want to read my Bible. I want to get close to God. I want to get..." Listen, you're not the only one. There are people there, you know, just like Elijah. You're right. Like, how many did did God tell Elijah that that there were so many people out there that have not bowed their knee?
1,000?
No, I can't remember the exact number, but he's in the cave, and he's all sad. He's saying, "I'm the only one left, and I just want to die." And he's like, "Listen, I've got thousands out here that have never bowed a knee to Baal. You're not the only one.
Yeah.
You're not the only one." And so guess what? You're not the only one either. You're not the only one. You're not by yourself. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the faith,
amen,
building it upon the word of God. Any last words, gentlemen?
You know, I was thinking about this when he was talking about churches, church growth. Church growth is not about numbers. It's about the people in the pews. Are they growing?
Come on.
That's church growth. And how do they grow? By the word of God. Are they getting the word of God? Are you preaching the word of God to them? Are you teaching them how to grow themselves in the word of God?
That's right.
You know.
Because 7,000? Okay, so that's how many? How many? That's how many that God reminded Elijah, "Hey, guess what? There's 7,000 men that have not bowed their knee. You ain't the only one, buddy."
That's right.
I love it. I love it. Praise be to God. Amen. So build your life. Is the word of God important in the age of grace? Do we really need the Bible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Resounding 1,000%.
And I want to get in the Bible. Add this in real quick. The path that you're on as a believer, the path that you're on as a follower of Jesus, Psalms 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet."
Praise God.
"And a light unto my path." You read this, it'll guide you every step of the way.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. It is life.
It is.
It is life, and it will bless your life. Amen. This is the KTF Podcast, the one and only right here in the KTF studios. I'm Pastor Shannon. It's a privilege to be able to bring you this podcast. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Remember to keep the faith all the way to the finish line.
Amen.
God bless you.